Good afternoon. Welcome to this news conference sponsored by Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. You will be hearing from four speakers today. Before we introduce them as a group and then individually, I want to invite the operator on the line to explain how the Q&A period will work.
Yes, ma'am. During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star, then two. Again, it is star, then one to ask a question.
We will have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A period to repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can pose questions. As I mentioned, you will be hearing from four speakers today: Diane Curran, attorney for the groups bringing the lawsuit, Harmon Curran, Spielberg, and Eisenberg, LLP, Dr. Arjun Makajani, president, Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, Sarah Barzak, High Risk Energy Choices Director, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and Reverend Charles Utley, Environmental Justice Coordinator, Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League. Let's begin with our first speaker now.
Thank you. This is Diane Curran. Today, the NRC issued a decision rejecting a motion to suspend the construction of the proposed new Vogtle reactors while the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit reviews a challenge by my clients to the decision to issue a license for the Vogtle reactors. The legal challenge is asserts that the NRC violated federal environmental law when it licensed the Vogtle reactors without supplementing the environmental study for the reactors called the Environmental Impact Statement to study the environmental implications of the catastrophic Fukushima accident that occurred in April 2011. We contend that the commission should hold up construction because it shouldn't allow Southern Nuclear Operating Company to spend money building the reactor when, if the environmental study is done and completed, as we assert it should be, it may reveal that changes to the design of the plant are needed in order to protect public safety. It would be a waste of resources for the company to go ahead and build the reactor and then possibly have to rip it out if an environmental study is done and shows that the plant should be changed to make it safer. One of the grounds that the NRC gave for denying our petition to stay was that we're going to lose our case in federal court anyway, so that there's no point in issuing a stay. But the NRC only digs itself deeper in with this decision, which confirms that the NRC applied the wrong standard in refusing to supplement the environmental impact statement for Vogtle to address the environmental implications of the Fukushima accident. The NRC said the standard it applied was whether there was an imminent risk of a Fukushima-like accident, but that's not the correct standard for whether a supplemental environmental analysis should be required. Under the law, the standard is whether there's a significant risk of a severe accident sometime during the operating life of the reactor, not tomorrow. An imminent risk standard is whether there's a danger of a serious accident in the very near future, such that a plant should be shut down immediately. That, of course, is not the standard we're seeking to apply here. We're asking for a standard of prudence in designing and building a reactor that may operate for between 40 and 60 years, or perhaps longer. The decision also vividly illustrates how the NRC tries to have it both ways, telling the public on the one hand to trust us that it's taking the Fukushima accident seriously, and on the other hand, refusing to be accountable to the public by supplementing the environmental impact statement for Vogtle or by even holding a hearing on whether it should be supplemented. attendance at the only hearing the NRC has held on the question of whether the NRC should supplement the EIS for Vogtle was limited to only Southern Nuclear Operating Company, the licensee, and the NRC technical staff. The NRC would not let the public participate and refused these groups' request for a hearing on the very same issue. Not surprisingly, the result was not to require an environmental impact statement and to put any changes to the Vogtle plant that might result from an analysis of the Fukushima accident off into sometime in the future when, first of all, we don't really know when or under what circumstances, under what terms these changes would be imposed, but also the public would have no right to participate in the decision. We should have learned from the Japanese accident that such a cozy relationship between industry and government regulators leads to complacency and poor regulatory decisions. And we think this kind of an outcome is not allowed by the federal environmental law, the National Environmental Policy Act, and therefore we are going to be refiling our stay motion with the U.S. Court of Appeals during this week. Thank you.
Again, that was Diane Curran, Harmon, Curran, Spielberg, and Eisenberg, LLP. That takes us to our second speaker, Dr. Arjun Makhijani, President, Institute for Energy and Environmental Research.
Thank you. In denying a stay of the license, the Commission today completely ignored our principal concern that the harm that will be caused by going ahead with construction now. That the costs of Fukushima-related backfits that may be required will be much greater after construction starts than if the issue is settled before construction, which is what we ask. We know this. This has already happened in the past. At Diablo Canyon, for instance, in the 1970s and 1980s, it had to be backfitted and redesigned once construction was well advanced for new seismic information. And it cost an enormous amount of money to do that. It would be much better and cheaper for Southern Company and certainly for the ratepayers if all of those decisions were made now. The NRC gave short shrift to the interests of the public and specifically the ratepayers who are bearing the risks of Vogtle 3 and 4. For instance, the NRC ignored its own statements as recently as January 2012 that the frequency of earthquakes of a given ground motion in the eastern region is now estimated to be higher than before. The Commission has failed to learn the lesson of more than 100 reactors to which it gave construction licenses in the 1970s that were later canceled at great damage to ratepayers and the public in general, in part because safety-related backfits were needed once construction had begun. In fact, the present licensing procedure of having constructing and operating licenses be granted at the start was premised on the idea that all safety issues would be settled at first and all cost issues would be settled at first so that we would know what the alternatives were. In fact, the Nuclear Energy Institute has said that in the past, the regulatory agency, and this is a quote, the regulatory agency issued a construction permit for a plant based on a preliminary design. Safety issues were not fully resolved until the plant was essentially complete, a process flaw that had substantial financial implications. Another shortcoming of the process was that the public did not have access to the details of the design until construction was almost finished. And that's the end of the quote, and then the Nuclear Energy Institute goes on to say that the present process is good because, quote, granting a combined COL signifies resolution of all safety issues associated with the plant. That is manifestly not the case today, to the extent that Chairman Yazko dissented from the decision granting the license. Although he didn't dissent today, he did dissent from the decision granting the license because he said that going ahead with the license would not give, quote, a binding assurance that these issues will be addressed before the plant operates. So here we're embarking on a course that the Commission has set that has two bad choices. Post-construction start backfits, which would be more expensive and cause delays, and the ratepayers would be asked to pay, or perhaps they would be difficult to impose and not be imposed at all, creating greater risks for the public. We think that the commission really should have acted more prudently, both with the lessons of Fukushima and from the detritus of more than 100 canceled reactors to which it had given licenses before that were canceled. Thank you.
Again, that was Dr. Arjun Makhijani, President, Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. That takes us to our third speaker, Sarah Barzak, High Risk Energy Choices Director, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Sarah Barzak, and I am the High Risk Energy Director for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Our organization has been a leading voice for energy policy to protect the quality of life in treasured places in the Southeast since 1985. As many of you know, the Southeastern United States is home to most of the proposed nuclear power expansion projects in the country, including, in this case, Southern Company and their utility partners plan to build two more reactors at Plant Vogtle in Georgia. And the NRC has also recently, and as you have heard, we believe mistakenly, approved the licensing of reactors at Scan BC Summer Nuclear Plant neighboring South Carolina. Similar to South Carolina, due to anti-consumer state legislation, most Georgia Power customers, Georgia Power being the daughter company of Southern Company, are already paying in advance for some costs associated with building the proposed Vogtle reactors. As more and more license changes pile up, and there are over 30 so far, and less certainty is known about what and when post-Fukushima changes may be made that will affect the reactors, the costs will likely rise and delays will likely occur, placing even more financial burden on small businesses and families in Georgia to be on the hook for an extremely risky, expensive project. In spite of the risk posed to ratepayers and taxpayers, especially in a post-Fukushima world, utilities across the Southeast continue to aggressively pursue building costly new reactors. That's a big reason why we are disappointed with today's NRC decision. Federal regulators need to take the time now, today, to carefully reassess the concerns that the Fukushima disaster raises for new reactors, such as Vogtle and VC Summer, and not yield to the nuclear industry's unreasonable timelines. It's essentially important to take a step back before billions of more dollars are spent. You know, as the saying goes that we all hear time and time again, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The Japanese nuclear disaster, which is still ongoing, proves that there are times when nuclear power is not a manageable technology. Rather, it can be inherently unforgiving. The new reality is that the nuclear industry's, its proponents, and now its regulators' decades-long reliance on supposedly fail-safe technology redundancies has now spectacularly failed. And as evidenced by today's NRC decision, regulators unfortunately continue to ignore the real ramifications that this risky, expensive nuclear project in Georgia could have on utility customers and local communities. There are serious safety and economic concerns that will eventually come to a front. Before billions more dollars are spent, post-Fukushima issues should be dealt with in order to best protect the safety of surrounding communities and also of ratepayers' pocketbooks. Thank you for your attention. That concludes my opening remarks.
Again, that was Sarah Barzak, High Risk Energy Choices Director, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Let's proceed to our fourth and final speaker making brief opening comments, Reverend Charles Utley, Environmental Justice Coordinator, Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League.
Good afternoon. It's good to be on this call in this conference. Hearing the news of the denial of a stay, in our opinion, puts the community on death row, meaning that the community now has little effort, and already that the community sees themselves as not being in a position when it comes to facilities over their conditions or their living areas. The Southern Company is seeking additional venues in the terms of construction of the plant, which indeed means that if there are concerns at this level or at a level where they are asking to alter the phases of construction, to say the least, in the conceivable years to come, that if we don't get the construction right in the beginning, we are jeopardizing the lives of those who live near the plant and within the range of the plant's unsafeness, as though we've seen in Fukushima. The community is also concerned that when it comes to facilities over them or their lives, this facility always has a tendency to win, leaving very little doubt in their minds that they don't see themselves as being very much of an individual living in a country where everyone has a right to the freedom of life and also having a right of good health care. The community feels that they are being used by Southern Company to further their habits of spreading pollution. When they look at other facilities that are in the area that are owned by Southern Company and one of the worst polluters in our communities, we feel that the NRC has dismissed the catastrophics that took place in Japan and what can take place in their communities. Although they are EJ communities, they stand together to say that paying for something that they are not receiving services for is indeed an injustice to them. And we're asking that the denial that came today doesn't do anything but makes this community more detrimental to the problems that are facing them from in everyday living conditions within their community. And we're asking that as they look forward, remember that no one is exempt from having a catastrophic disaster happen, but we can put safety rules and safety regulations in place that will take care of these things that are happening across our nation and in other parts of the world. When we learn better, we should start doing better. And I think it's time now for facilities such as Plant Vogtle and any other facilities who are dealing in these communities to start doing better by their ratepayers and not using them to advance their own individual agendas. Now, again, thank you for allowing me to be able to be on this call.
That was the opening statement of Reverend Charles Utley, Environmental Justice Coordinator, Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League. That takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. I want to invite the operator back on the line to explain once again how the Q&A period will go.
Yes, ma'am. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star, then two to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star, then one to rejoin the queue.
While we're waiting for our first question, I want to emphasize that the Q&A period is for reporters only. You can find the news release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org. Again, that's www.cleanenergy.org. After this news event is over, you can contact Leslie Malloy at 703-276-3256 to be connected with any of the speakers you've heard from today. Operator, let's go to our first question now.
Yes, ma'am. The first question comes from Brian Winfield of Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. Diane, can you just walk us through what the legal procedure will be over the next few days and what the timeline is? And also if you can kind of explain how this is different from what the groups filed previously when the license was issued to Southern.
Sure. Well, we in mid-February, we appealed the NRC rule that approved the standardized AP1000 design on which Vogtle is based.
Mm-hmm.
Then in March, I think it was the 20th of March, we appealed the Vogtle licensing decision itself and all the various pieces of it. And then those two cases were consolidated in the Court of Appeals. And they are now pending in the court. We have a briefing schedule so that on May 11th, we will be filing a brief with our our legal argument as to why the NRC violated the National Environmental Policy Act when it licensed Vogtle and approved the AP1000 design. The stay motion is an attempt to apply some common sense to the whole process by saying that construction should not proceed on this project while the court's reviewing our case, because the whole purpose of the National Environmental Policy Act is to ensure that environmental considerations are taken into account before the action is taken. So the purpose of NEPA is to consider all the environmental issues before you lay the first concrete in a project like this. And here we have Southern going ahead with construction that the whole project could be changed if we then get an environmental impact statement that says we need to make some major safety changes to this design.
Okay.
And we filed our stay motion with the NRC initially because in order to ask the court to hold up the construction of the Vogtle plants, we had to ask the NRC to do it first, because really it's the agency should be given a chance to act on your request before you take it to court. So we did ask, and the NRC denied it. And so now we will be going to the court with the same request.
And when will the motion be filed in court?
It will be filed in the next couple of days.
Can you be any more specific than that?
Target date is Wednesday.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's go to our next question now.
The next question comes from Housley Carr of Platts.
Hello. Able to participate or be at the NRC meeting this morning. I was wondering, was that a 4-1 vote as well? Was there any sort of discussion among the commissioners about the request that you made?
The meeting, this is Diane, the meeting was not put on the web as it often is, and we do not know if there was any discussion, but there was no dissent from this order.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to our next question.
The next question comes from Ryan Tracy of Dow Jones Newswires.
Hi, thanks. I was wondering if y'all could be a little bit more specific about these. That there were 30 potential changes to the license. Where are those records, and you know, how big of changes are we talking about? And also, when you look at what's potentially could be evaluated with respect to Fukushima, you know, what are some of the areas where you see potentially, you know, the NRC taking action that could really affect Vogtle?
Sarah, you want to take the first part, and I'll take the second part?
Sure. There are approximately 32 license amendment requests that cover a variety of issues. One that was most recently talked about deals with the sort of, and I'm trying to just summarize it, but the concrete that's already been poured needs to be thickened, and that seems to be, from our perspective, a significant issue. And then there's a handful more. As I said, there's over 30. And, you know, past history shows that a lot of these things end up having some kind of cost or schedule implication. And because, as I pointed out in my statement, that Georgia Power customers, small businesses, families are paying for the financing costs associated with the reactor project, people are on the hook now with their bills, and they were given sort of a cost estimate of the project, which is in the $14 billion neighborhood, but we could, you know, see cost increases and delays that could exacerbate that, just as what occurred when Vogtle 1 and 2 were built years ago and went 1,200% above budget and resulted in the largest rate hike in the history of Georgia at the time.
And those are requests that are filed with the NRC?
Yes, they are publicly available. They have been filed. You can find them in the online NRC Adams library. But we could also try to get you those, and we can email them off to you if Leslie can catch your email address.
So actually, these license amendment requests have been made already, even though the license was just given in February. And they actually plan to make a series of them in the coming months and year, or two even. So they can see already that what they have on paper isn't what they're going to build. As I said in my statement, this is Arjun Makhijani, they should know what they're going to build. As an engineer, I can tell you some things do change when you build things. You may change the location of a cable tray, or you may want to make it a little bit bigger. But the main things need to be settled now. The biggest thing that I see coming is the NRC and the Electric Power Research Institute issued a report that was years in the making about the seismic potential in the central and eastern United States. And they concluded from their new model that the prior model underestimated the frequency of earthquakes of a given magnitude. And they themselves said, the NRC itself said, that they're going to use this new information in licensing and relicensing decisions. And 10 days later, they issued, without evaluating this new model, they issued the Vogel license. Now, we know what can happen. The cost of seismic backfits, once there is construction, could run into the billions of dollars for the backfits. And every week of delay, and you could have years of delay. In Diablo Canyon, they had 3 years of delay due to seismic backfits in the late 1970s. Every week of delay could cost about $25 million. So just the interest costs, if this comes towards the end of construction, you say, oops, you know, we need seismic backfits, as it happened in California, you could have billions of dollars of cost overruns. By that time, the company may well decide to abandon the plant. Today, you could build a natural gas-fired power plant for half the cost of a subsidized nuclear power plant at the current cost that Vogel is proclaiming. If you have cost overruns, they could just decide to walk away from the plant because they don't have anything to lose. So this is sort of the main reason we're saying you settle the procedure. You said you would resolve all safety issues. You say Fukushima is serious, and yet you're allowing construction to proceed without resolving the very central issue that Fukushima throws a light on, which is seismic issues.
This is Sarah again. Just to follow up, if you need the information quickly that you asked about with the 32 license amendment requests, you can go to NC Warren's website, www.nc for North Carolina, Warren, WARN.org, and they issued a press release last week with Alliance for Nuclear Accountability that addresses that, and then you can see the links to the NRC documents right there.
Thank you.
And this is Charles Utley. And looking at it from an EJ environmental perspective, we feel that if those changes are detrimental to it, because if there is a seismic movement and inner perspective, and you're not solid on the foundation, you're looking for problems throughout the life of that reactor, which means that's the reason why I started out by saying they're putting those communities within on death row.
Thank you. Let's move to our next question now.
Yes, ma'am. The next question comes from Matt Bandick of SNL Energy.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering, with this denial of the petitions today from the NRC, what's the next step? Is there any chance of appeal, or are you focused on the federal court proceeding at this time?
Okay, this is Diane Curran. We're going to be refiling our stay motion with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, where our appeal of the Vogel licensing decision is now pending. Does that answer your question?
Was that the filing on next Thursday that you mentioned earlier?
This coming Wednesday, we're going to be filing our stay motion with the court. So we're going to be renewing our request, but this time in the court.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's move to our next question.
The next question comes from Walter Jones with Morris News Service.
Good afternoon. Thanks for giving me a chance to ask. I'm curious about the mechanism of the combined license. I thought kind of the understanding was that the license was supposed to cover all of the safety issues, and once issued, it was golden. Are you saying that in your suit that it was not properly done, or are you saying that that you expect that the license will be opened up and down the road, and then that's where these concerns that you're worried about? Because I don't understand why it's possible that that you were saying it would be opened up down the road to address these other concerns at some later date when there's this new combined license.
Okay.
Go ahead. You want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Well, we are arguing that when the licensing decision was made in February 2012, it was invalid because it didn't comply with federal environmental law. So we don't think this license is golden. It's tin or something else.
Okay. Well, you know, what the NRC has done is it itself has violated the procedure that it set forth when it said, you know, in the 80s it was bad. We gave a construction license and then an operating license. We're going to settle all safety issues first and then give this combined license. That was the theory. But in issuing the license, in light of Fukushima, now they have not yet changed all the regulations that may change in light of what is happening with Fukushima. For instance, they issued a new order in March 2012, 1 month after they issued the license, which will require new things to happen. They know that they're going to be implementing Fukushima-related recommendations and new things that we still have to learn. We still don't know exactly what went on in the spent fuel pools and so on. And they themselves, in issuing the license, said that, if we need to issue design changes, we can always do it while construction is going on. And this is the reason that the chairman himself, or one of the reasons, the chairman himself dissented. He said it's very difficult to order changes once you've issued the license and construction is advanced. And so this is not something that I'm saying. This is something the NRC itself has said, that we will reopen it if we decide that there are safety issues to be settled. And this is a pretty unhealthy thing because it would be very costly to reopen it and therefore even more difficult for an agency that's reluctant to impose costs on the industry to actually reopen it.
This is Sarah with SAIS. Hi, Walter. Thanks for being on the call. I think as you and I have talked about over the years, we were all sort of led to believe that the combined operating license was sort of this slam dunk type of licensing approach so that all the issues could be squared away and the utilities would then avoid the problems that occurred in the past, like with Vogtle 1 and 2. And so there would be more reliability and supposedly costs would be less, et cetera, et cetera. And what you're seeing is essentially what a lot of us predicted, is the industry, in this case Southern Company and its utility partners, along with the Georgia Public Service Commission and now the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, sort of rushed and pushed through things. So we're experiencing, you know, a high number, and there's going to be more, of license amendment requests that are going to have to get processed, that at the PSC they're going to have to argue, is that Southern Company's fault? Is it Westinghouse, the consortium? Who's going to pay for it? And it's a mess, and we're only a couple months after the original license was approved. So I think I know where you're coming from, and we have frustration with this organizationally. We certainly didn't want to have something like this happen where, you know, now you have ratepayers really in limbo and communities, you know, in the Waynesboro area and Shell Bluff communities that are also in limbo wondering, you know, are regulators going to do anything to protect them? So it's unfortunate.
OK, Okay, thanks.
We want to make sure that reporters on the line have a chance to pose their questions, so we'll invite the operator back on the line to go through the instructions again. Operator?
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star, then 2. Again, it is star, then 1 to ask a question.
While we're waiting for our next question, we want to stress that you can find the news release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org, and that's where a streaming audio replay of this news event will be available as of 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. Operator, do we have any questions at this time?
No, ma'am. I'm showing no further questions.
We know some reporters will want to take their questions offline, so at this point, we'll go back to the list of 4 speakers that you heard and give them a chance to offer their closing thoughts for today. Let's begin with Diane Curran.
I think I'd just like to emphasize that this kind of, I guess it's a ready, shoot, aim approach to licensing a nuclear reactor where you let massive construction go on before all the really important safety issues are resolved is really bad regulatory decision making, because of course once something is built its inertia sets in and it's really hard to change anything after you've done it. But equally importantly, I think the way the NRC is going about this, by hearing from the industry and making its decisions with the industry and not inviting the public in to participate through the environmental impact statement process, smacks of the kind of industry regulator coziness that was a real problem in Japan and that the Japanese are really starting to regret. And we hope that our lawsuit will help to reform this kind of decision-making and really shed some important light on the response to the Fukushima accident. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let's move to Dr. Arjun Nakajani.
You know, in perspective, you can understand that Southern Company may not care much in terms of proceeding, because essentially the people who are on the hook are the ratepayers. Once their commissioners have their public utilities commissioners have allowed them to proceed with this as prudent costs, then even if they walk away, they can recover the costs most probably. It's really the ratepayers that are on the hook, and it is the ratepayers and the public's interest that the NRC has kind of thrown overboard today. Really, we explicitly said that if backfits are required after construction starts, it could be more expensive and it could risk walking away from the project, as has happened dozens and dozens of times, more than 100 times. And the chairman in his dissent had said that it's very difficult, more difficult to impose changes after construction, after a license has been granted, so it should be done before it has been granted. And so I think really this process is not serving the public in the way it was intended, to settle all safety issues beforehand. And a process that ideally would have been that way, that was praised by Southern Company and the Nuclear Energy Institute, but now that they want something differently, all of those old pious statements have been thrown overboard. It's much to be regretted.
Thank you. Sarah Barzak?
Hi, this is Sarah Barzak. Essentially, as you heard here, we're working to stop history from repeating itself. The original Vogtle reactors, units 1 and 2, were a massive boondoggle. Cost increased 1,200% from original estimates, and that resulted in the largest rate hike at the time in Georgia. And due to regulators' poor decisions and utility doggedness, we feel that we are heading down that same path. Cost overruns, delays, and public health and safety coming in last, not first. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, Reverend Charles Utley.
And thank you again.
looking at it from the perspective of the communities, when we look at it as this fast pace headed into the unknown, we realize that the community is really put in a vice that squeezes their purse. And when will it stop? Because we are headed to an unknown depth that no one can reach in their wallets and suffice, because Southern Company is really exploring the local man and the woman to a point that they can't even learn what is next before there's a new vice put on them and their pocketbooks. And we must remember, too, that these are communities who have very little resources, and we cannot continue to press the oppressed, asking them to continue to do things that others may be able to do, but yet and still, they cannot even do it themselves. So my last point is, remember that money really does not grow on trees, and they do not grow in Burke County and the ratepayers over Georgia. Thank you.
We want to make sure you know where to get more information about today's news conference. You can contact Leslie Malloy at 703-276-3256 to be connected with any of the speakers you've heard from today. As I said before, you can find the news release on the web at www.cleanenergy.org, and that's where a streaming audio replay of this news event will be available as of 5 p.m. Eastern Time today. Again, you've been listening to a news conference sponsored by Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Thank you for joining us. That concludes today's news event.